The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is another episode of today's special on a very special day. Today is the birthday anniversary of one of the great Shia's Imam, Imam Javad, peace be upon him. So our first congratulations is for this birthday anniversary. And the second event is the anniversary of the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution of Iran. Congratulations for both occasions.
نحيي لأئمتنا الفرح موسى وجواد العترة.
And I invite you to be with us with this episode of today's special. Today, Wednesday, is the 10th of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of February 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer congratulations on all Muslim brothers and sisters on the birthday anniversary of Imam Javad, peace be upon him, and the victory anniversary of Islamic Revolution of Iran. Imam Javad, symbol of Prophet's affability. The lifespan of Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad, peace be on him, was shorter than that of his predecessors as well as his successors. He became Imam when he was 8 years old and was poisoned at the age of 25. A few days after, Imam Javad, peace be upon him, was commissioned by Allah to hold the responsibility of imamate at the age of 8, he is known not only to have debated with his contemporary scholars on subjects pertaining of fiqh, that means Islamic jurisprudence, hadith, that means traditions, tafsir or Quranic exegesis, and outwitted them, but also to exhort their admiration and acknowledgement of his learning and superiority. Right from then, the world realized that he possessed divine knowledge and that the knowledge commanded by the Imam was not acquired, but granted by Allah. Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace be upon him, occupied the highest position in human virtues and moral attainments, as this was the marked feature of Prophet's family. The holy Imam Al-Jawad was the symbol of Prophet Muhammad's affability and commander of faithful Imam Ali's attainments. Congratulations on his birthday anniversary.
Imam alayhi salam engages in a debate, in another debate with Yahya ibn Aktham. Yahya ibn Aktham says to the Imam, he says to him, tell me that what have you come across the tradition when it comes to the position of the first and the second Khalifa, which says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibra'il to whom? To the Holy Prophet and says, As-salamu yuqri'uka as-salam, that Allah sends his peace and blessings be upon you, and asks you to go and ask the first Khalifa, Abu Bakr, are you pleased with me or not? Imam alayhi salam responds back by saying, you see, this is the methodology. He says to him, be aware that in Hajjatul Wada', the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him and his holy progeny, indeed made sure that people understood that after him there will come individuals who will fabricate hadith, that will place hadith which has no basis. Remember that Rasulullah has said, whomsoever does so, let them anticipate their position in Jahannam. فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ فِي النَّارِ. Let them understand that their position in Jahannam is reserved for them, those individuals who have taken part in wada' of hadith. What do you find the Imam says to him? Imam says to him, have you not read the Quran? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. That Allah is closer to the human being than the jugular vein. And doesn't the Quran say, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. That Allah lies between the human being and his own heart. How is it possible that Allah seeks and goes to the Prophet to go and ask the first Khalifa about how he feels about the Almighty, whereas the Almighty knows before him? The individual then asks him, he says to him, how about the tradition that says that the example of the first two is what? Similitude to Mikael and Jibra'il in the heavens. Imam alayhi salam says, Mikael and Jibra'il are angels of Allah that did never perform any form of shirk, nor did they commit any disobedience. You cannot compare individuals who bow down to idols two angels of God who are pure. Amazing. This is the rationality and the methodology of the Imam alayhi salam.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate Celebrate Let's celebrate Allah Allah Thank you for this day
His knowledge In this part, we want to know about his knowledge. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, like his forefathers, peace be upon them, used different means to carry out his scientific procedures. For example, the means of teaching and instructing students and scholars and urging them to write and record and also sustain what comes from the holy imams of Ahlul Bayt or by binding them to the art of writing, publishing, and classifying. Sheikh At-Tusi, one of the great Islamic scholars, in his book Rijal, mentioned a number of the close companions of Imam al-Jawad, peace be upon him, and his narrators, whose studies and were educated under his care to be about 100, including two women. The means of appointing deputies and commanding them to spread out in different parts of the Muslim lands in order to be true callers to Islam, follow it and convey its divine laws. This is another matter during Imam al-Jawad's time. Books of history have recorded the correspondences of Imam al-Jawad with his deputies who were spread in different parts of the Muslim worlds in order to convey Islamic faith. And the last but not the least, the means of scholarly debates and discussion. The books of traditions and narrations have recorded for us richly discussions and debates in different kinds of sciences and knowledge and defending them and fixing its pillars in fields of monotheism, jurisprudence, interpretation, and narration, and so on.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you
Thank you very much. This is today's special. And you are with IRIB English Radio. As I told you at the beginning of the program, today is the decade of Fajr. I will explain it to you. Millions of Iranians across the country have begun 10 days of celebration, marking the anniversary of the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution that put an end to the monarchy of the US-backed Pahlavi regime in the country. The ceremonies started on Wednesday morning at 9:33 a.m. local time, the time when the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, arrived back home on February 1, 1979 from exile. On this day, Ayatollah Khomeini was welcomed by millions of people who had converged on the capital, Tehran, from across the country. His arrival intensified popular protests against the US-backed Pahlavi regime, leading to its downfall 10 days later. The day when Imam Khomeini returned to Tehran marks the start of 10 days of celebrations, better known as the 10-day dawn festivities, which culminate in nationwide rallies on February 11 this year, the anniversary of the triumph of the Islamic Revolution. During the 10-day festivities, Iranians take part in different events and activities to mark the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
Independence, a long-time passion and struggle for Iran. With a history of dictatorship, puppet leaders and coup d'etats, Iranians are vehemently against interference, and a lot of their experiences of exactly that, interference, are bitter memories of America. 1953 in Iran, the first democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh is in power. He's widely popular for nationalizing the country's oil industry and taking it out of the hands of the big Western oil giants. As Mossadegh's popularity and power grows, the Shah flees to America. While there, American CIA organizes a military coup d'etat against Mossadegh and replaces him with the Shah, who returns to Iran and maintains an ever closer relationship with the US government. The Shah was an autocratic ruler, seen by most as a puppet to the United States, who felt indebted to give them whatever they wanted. The relationship between the two reached new levels on October 3, 1964, when Iran's parliament ratified a law giving Americans in Iran indefinite immunity. Those were the words that sowed the seeds of the Islamic Revolution.
Congratulations and have a nice time.
Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed. For this is the day of Eid.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Alayhi salatullah, alayhi salatullah.
Food for thought.
Salam and congratulations on the birth anniversary of the Prophet's 9th infallible heir, Imam Jawad, peace upon him. Let us listen to his wise words regarding real peace and prosperity in the brief life of this transient world. We are only ladling from this world. He whose belief and religion are the same as his acquaintance will surely accompany that acquaintance everywhere. The life to come is surely the lasting abode.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith, which has been transmitted from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is about the grandson of the Prophet, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad. As you know, today is the birthday of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. And here at IRIB English Radio and Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners on this most auspicious day. And we would also pray to God that He allow us to benefit from the guidance of that most holy leader. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the following in reply to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this was one of the famous companions of the Prophet. He said the following regarding the Imams from Hussein alayhi salam's progeny. He enumerated the names of the Imams, and then when he got to the name of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he said, and from the loins of Ali al-Ridha, his son Muhammad, the praised, and the purest of people in form, and the best of them in character. You know, there's many virtues have been narrated from people regarding the Imam's virtues. Yahya al-San'ani, a narrator of traditions, he says the following. He said, I visited Abu al-Hasan al-Ridha alayhi salam when I was in Mecca. He visited Imam Ridha when Imam Ridha was in Mecca. I saw him peel a banana and feed it to Abu Ja'far, feed it to his son Imam al-Jawad. I asked him, may I be your ransom? Is this the blessed newborn? As you know, this is one of the titles and the epithets of Imam al-Jawad, al-Mawlud al-Mubarak, because, you know, a lot of circumstances, you know, took place during the birth of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, and he was very special. And that's why in many hadiths it's been mentioned that no baby or no person no infant was born as blessed for the family of the Prophet, for the Ahlul Bayt, as this baby was, right? Obviously, we don't have time to get into the circumstances and the events which occurred for which this title was given to him. We just wanted to allude to that here. In continuation of the hadith, Imam Ridha alayhi salam then said, yes, O Yahya, this is the newborn, the like of whom there is none other born into Islam, and upon our Shia, more blessed than him. Just by way of passing, we can say that, one of the reasons for this was that Imam Ridha alayhi salam, before Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he didn't have a son, And this was a point of contention amongst the Shia. People were very worried what would happen after the imam, who would the imamate be transferred to. A lot of people from the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, they used this to ridicule Imam Radha alayhi salam and the family of the Prophet. Right, so the birth of Imam Jawad alayhi salam kind of put these disputes to rest. It silenced the critics of the Imam alayhi salam. That's why one of the reasons why he was given this title. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at Imam Jawad alayhi salam in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل الفرج.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Here again we are with some of the students of Xavier International School, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider, and also Hassan Nasrullah. So today, inshallah, our main topic is Ayah 264 of Surah Al-Baqarah on page
44.
So brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran as you're listening. Stay with us till the end of this Quranic session. Inshallah, we have a lot of things to say. And important tajweed rules will be mentioned. Make sure, inshallah, you stay with us. So, let's everyone listen once to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha kalladhi yunfiqu malahu ri'a an-nas ولا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصابه وابل فتركه صلدا لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين.
That was nice. I will be reciting. Okay, Fawad, Hassan Hussein, and Ali Nasir. Make sure you listen carefully and repeat after me. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى
لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس
لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق ماله
الذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس ولا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر
كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس ولا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر
فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصابه وابل فتركه صلدا
فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصابه وابل فتركه صلدا
لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا
لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا
والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين
والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين
أحسنتم ما شاء الله The same as our previous verses, okay, that we had here in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 262-263, Allah Almighty was talking about donation and charity, how we should donate. Like, you shouldn't express favor after you donate. Do not disrespect people. Do not annoy them, right? With your words, with your sentences. So here, Allah Almighty directly talks about, tells us, commands us, okay? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all those who believe, la tubtilu sadaqatikum, do not invalidate your charities, do not invalidate your donation, okay? With what? Bil manni wal adha, by reproaches and affronts and annoying the ones you have helped, okay? Do not invalidate. Kalladhi yunfiqu malahu, okay, how do we... there is an example Allah Almighty gives, okay? An example of how people invalidate their donation. Come on. In the beginning, for example, sometimes you donate someone, okay? And you donate it for the sake of Allah Almighty, okay? With ikhlas. Sometimes you invalidate it after you donated it. Like you disrespect someone, yes? Like you... talk to others like, I spent a lot of money. Then your friend asks, how? He said, I donated it to charity. You invalidated. If it was for Allah Almighty, there was no need to talk about it with others. Yes? Yes or no?
Question. Yes. If others talk about it with you,
it's okay.
Then it does not invalidate?
You try not to mention, okay? But if you are someone who is popular, who is famous in charity and donation, it's okay. You donate. People know it, okay? It's okay. It's something which is popular. If you donate and your intention is this to improve in the society, to make it popular, make the donation popular among the people, okay? Make it a custom. Make it more easier for the people. To understand that donation is so good, okay? And it's very easy. Inshallah, Allah Almighty will reward you, okay? Now, sometimes we donate like those people who donate, who spend their wealth, ria an nas. What ria an nas means?
That people see.
Should see, yes. You, I tell Fawad, look, I have money, I want to donate it. Or you never donate, okay? But when, for example, one of your family members or one of your like friends, okay, he's with you, you take out some money and you donate, okay? Your intention is this, that your friend should see you. Oh, what a gentleman, what a good person, what a kind person he is.
Question,
what a merciful person.
If you do it for the sake of Allah, still,
you'll get the reward. If it's your intention is for Allah. So guys, Allah Almighty talked about a very important point. That's enough for us, okay? To understand that our charity, our donation should be for the sake of Allah Almighty. Okay, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein and Ali Nasir, right?
Yes.
Let's move to the Tajweed rules.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
We ask our brothers and sisters to, inshallah, refer to the Tafasir book for more explanation. Here, يا أيها الذين آمنوا. There are so easy ones. Also, we'll skip those ones. We'll move on to the important ones. لا تبطلوا. لا تبطلوا.
قلقلا.
Pay attention to this one. تبطلوا صدقاتكم. Here. صدقاتكم. Meme ساكن plus ba. We had a rule. إقلاب.
Half meme.
إقلاب, are you sure? It's meme ساكن plus ba, not yes. Nun ساكن plus ba. Ali Nasir, meme ساكن plus ba tells you, apply the rule.
إقلاب.
No. إدغام. That was نون ساكن plus ba. It's meme ساكن plus ba.
إخفاء.
إخفاء. نون ساكن plus ba. إقلاب. ميم ساكن plus ba. إخفاء.
لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى.
Right? صدقاتكم بالمن. Nasal sound. Okay?
Yes.
Yes. والأذى كالذي ينفق. It's easy. إخفاء. ينفق. نون ساكن plus فاء. إخفاء. ما له رئاء الناس. رئاء. The mad is واجب. Why, Hassan? Hamza and Alif mad are in?
Same.
In the same word. Yes. رئاء الناس.
Here, رئاء has its own Hamza?
No. That Ya is the base for Hamza. You should pronounce the Hamza.
So, the Hamza in Annas here is counted, or in the Ria itself?
Oh, Hamza, that's not Annas. A, Ria.
Ria.
Ria is one word. Annas is another word. Annas with Hamza tul wasl, you skip it. You skip Hamza tul wasl, right here. Ria, Annas.
So, because of this Hamza in Ria.
Ria. It's one word.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so Hamza
so
and Ria.
Two Hamza in this word.
Two Hamza, yes. Two Hamza in this word. Ria, a, a. One at the end, one in the beginning, in the middle. So you should stretch the sound for six counts. Sorry. So ولا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. صلاة tells you that wasl is better than
waqf.
It's easy. فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه. إظهار تراب فأصابه إخفاء تراب فأصابه وابل وابل again إخفاء فتركه صلدا تنوين فتحة changes to ألف
mad
when you stop صلدا لا يق قلقلة يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا شيء مما كسبوا إدغام على شيء مما كسبوا قيلا tells you stop stopping is better than continuing والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. So may inshallah Allah Almighty guide us to the right path inshallah. So guys, Let's ask Allah Almighty to help us and actually bless us, okay? Shower His blessings upon us, to inshallah we should be able to donate and give to charity just for the sake of Allah Almighty. So, thank you so much, Hassan Hussein Fawad and Ali Nasir, for joining us today. We will give thanks to our brothers and sisters as well who have been listening to us up to now. We'll see you inshallah in the coming sessions. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, As'aluka bihaqqika wa qudsika wa azami sifatika wa asma'ik. أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab. My Lord, My Lord, My Lord. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك. I ask you by your truth, your holiness, the greatness of your attributes and your names. أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة. That you make my times in night and the day inhabited by your remembrance. وبخدمتك موصولة, and joined to your service. وأعمالي عندك مقبولة, and make my acts acceptable to you. حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا. So that my acts and my prayers may all be a single litany. وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا, my occupation with your service everlasting. And at the end of this excerpt, Imam alayhi salam says, Ya Sayyidi, Ya man alayhi mu'awwali, O my master, O he upon whom I depend, Ya man ilayhi shakawtu ahwali, O he to whom I complain of my states, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. Regarding this excerpt, we try to elaborate on the part where the supplicant, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, وَأَعْمَالِ عِنْدَكَ مَقْبُولَ. We mentioned some of the most important conditions of the acceptance of our deeds, and the most important of them was doing the action merely for the sake of God. One of the aspects or subcategories of this sincerity is sincerity in the love of the Almighty Allah. Now, the question that we must address is, from where should we draw this love of Allah? This is an important question in our discussion. Now that we have come to know the value of the love of Allah based on what we explained in the previous episodes, we must know where to derive this love from, and we have to know what is its source. Now, briefly answering this question, we can say that Allah Himself is the source of love, its origin and its goal. But we will explain it in details after a short break.
I beseech you by your glory and honor, by your supremely high attributes, and by your names, to cause me to utilize my time day and night in your remembrance by engaging myself in serving you. And to let my deeds be acceptable to you, so much so that all my actions and offerings may be transformed into one continuous and sustained effort. And my life may take the form of constant and perpetual service to you, O my Master, O you upon whom I rely, O you unto whom I express my distress.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, from where should we draw this love of the Almighty Allah? The first point is that Almighty Allah loves His servants. Indeed, Allah loves His servants. He is the one who is providing for them. He is the one who protects them. He is the one who bestows upon them His blessings and bounties that none is able to count. He is the one who forgives them. He is the one who turns toward them clemently. He is the one who covers their shortcomings and grants them success. He is the absolute cause. He guides them to the right path and takes care of them with His grace. He is the one who averts evil and calamity from them. All these are signs of His love towards His servants. And one more important thing, even sometimes the calamities of the Almighty Allah are out of His love. The point is that the servant is the one who is in dire need of understanding the philosophies of different calamities. Now, the second point that we must bear in our minds is that Almighty Allah confers upon His servants His love and affection. Among the signs of Almighty Allah's love for His servants is that He loves them and He blesses them with His love. However, the affair of this love is somehow very strange, because it is the Almighty Allah who is the one who bestows love, and it is He who receives love from His servants. He is the one who endows them with attraction and jadhaba after attraction, and thereafter He draws them toward Himself with that attraction. We find frequent indication to this concept in the Islamic narrations and supplications. For example, in the whispered prayer of Arifin, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, O Allah, make us among those within the gardens of whose breasts the trees of yearning for you have taken firm root, and the assemblies of whose hearts have been seized by the ardor of your love. We will explain more parts of the whispered prayers and supplications of the Ahlul Bayt regarding this important concept in the next episodes. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stand here so unafraid of everything around me. Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayr din Muhammad il-Hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting
in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid. Well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws about purity according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil